Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Stratford Hall this morning, our focus, and the Northern Neck. Lots of things going on, and we've got a couple of experts in studio to talk about it. Gordon Blaine Steffi is here, the director of research at Stratford Hall, among other things. Gordon, good to have you back this morning.
It's great to be back. I'm glad I made it on time this time.
And we're going to talk about that because, wow, you set a show record this morning. And Lisa Hall is here, the Northern Neck Tourism Coordinator. Lisa, it's great to meet you. Good morning.
Good morning, Ted. Thank you so much for having me.
Lots to talk about, and just really we're going to talk about a lot of events and things coming up that you can be involved with. Gordon, you got up this morning and you came here to be here for this show. You got up in Lynchburg this morning and you're in Fredericksburg right now. Thank you.
Ted, that's how wide your viewership is. I had to get up at 4:45 so I could get here and make sure that the people were happy by being on your show.
Thank you. That is what. to go from Lynchburg to South Stafford and to get here in that amount of time.
Listen, I'm telling you what. I mean, if I lived in Fredericksburg, I think I'd have heart palpitations on a regular basis because of the nature of the traffic. I don't know how you people do it.
It's horrible.
Yes, it is horrible.
That is the one thing. That is a topic in local government. It's a topic every day people talk about.
Do they have solutions?
Traffic. No. There are no solutions. But we could go on it. That is for another show.
Mm-hmm.
Stratford Hall. We'll start off with Stratford Hall for
sure.
People who have heard the name or have never been. If you've never been to Stratford Hall, shame on you.
Indeed.
From here, it's from this area, you take Route 3 east, what, about an hour?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's about right. I mean, my geography of this particular area isn't as fabulous as my knowledge of Central Virginia, right, which is where I live. But yeah, it's about an hour from here. It is the historic home of the Lee family of Virginia. Some of those folks you may have heard of, including Richard Henry Lee, Francis Lightfoot Lee, the Declaration signers, as well as Robert Edward Lee, I'm sure plenty of folks are familiar with. And so we tend to invite people, welcome people to come out and visit us at Stratford. We have lots of events going on. And of course, we have the historic house that is open and available for tour.
The house is really something.
Yeah, and you are remiss for not having been there recently.
I have not been there recently, and I am going to make up for that this year for sure. Now, the great house is, boy, you literally walk back into time when you go there.
That's right. Unlike a lot of other places, it is not a reconstruction. We have 9,000 square feet of a house that was built originally around, let's say, 1738, 1739, 1740, somewhere around there. First extant letter we have written from Stratford Hall is 1741.
I did not realize, Karen Daly, a few years ago, took me around the property because I'd only been to the great house and a few other little things. I didn't realize that the property is so immense.
Around 2,000 acres now. Yeah. Now, back then, it used to be significantly larger, more than double the size. And I'm sure she probably took you down to the water.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that. That's another thing that I didn't. I knew that the water. I mean, I thought that those views were only seen from Westmoreland State Park and. No,
you didn't realize that our view shed is better than theirs.
Yeah, way better.
Now, we love our friends at Westmoreland State Park, but it's also true that when you go down to the water at Stratford, one of the things you realize is, well, this was the source of some of the Stratford wealth, because at that waterside, not only would the mill is still standing. Well, a mill is still standing that was reconstructed over the years.
Yeah.
But, in fact, we had a pretty significant economic operation down there back in the 18th century, including a shipbuilding shop, a store, a tobacco warehouse, tobacco inspection station. A lot of those things were taken out by the great hurricane of 1769 and never rebuilt.
The other thing you find that you don't always see at other historic sites, just because of how big, and you know, you've got the mill, there are so many things around there. You literally feel Trails. Like when you start walking around at Stratford Hall, that this is what the Lees looked at, and this is how they lived and what was there.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to step back, I mean, you know, I'm thinking about my drive here this morning. If you want to get out of that kind of mood and sense and aura of being surrounded by anxiety, folks trying to get to work, then you want to take a step back in time and learn about some really incredible history that led to the founding of this country, then Stratford Hall is the place to go in the Northern Neck.
StratfordHall.org, the website, and we're going to get into that.
Great.
We're going to talk about you're involved with a podcast that's fabulous, and there are some things this weekend that we want to jump into and talk about. Lisa Hall, the Northern Neck Tourism Coordinator. Lisa, the Northern, I'm always, on this show, I always say frequently, I mean, the Northern Neck is just a jewel for people, especially when you get away from the traffic and everything here, to go to the Northern Neck. It's a different world in some areas.
Yes, Ted, it is, and technically we are still part of the historical Northern Neck right here in Fredericksburg, because the original land grant was the land between the Potomac and Rappahannock Rivers, stretching to their headwaters. So we're not going to go all the way to West Virginia today, but the NNK 250 effort includes the counties of King George, Westmoreland, Lancaster, Northumberland, and Richmond counties, and it really emphasizes the public history aspect of the founders of the American Revolution and the stories connecting to the Northern Neck that are relevant today and that scholars are looking at.
We're going to get into all the specifics of what's happening, but I'm sure you hope that that this year just highlights so much of this, and that people don't just focus on it this year, but go back, because there's plenty of things to see and plenty of history on the Northern Neck.
There is, and the NNK 250 is a four-year commemoration starting last year in 2024. We have different themes for each year. This year, 2025, is We the People. So that's what we're focusing on in our signature speaker series and in our academic symposium to come in October.
So have you been somebody who's been on the Northern Neck for a long time?
Ted, we say in the Northern Neck.
Ian, okay.
It's a local idiom. I have been in the Northern Neck for over 30 years.
Okay.
Which still makes me come here by local parlance.
I don't think I've ever said in for the Northern Neck, so yeah. I will correct.
It's a local idiom.
That's the thing I have learned already today. Lisa Hall here, Gordon Blaine, Steffi here. We're talking Stratford Hall and the Northern Neck this morning. Quick break. We'll be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Lisa Hall and Gordon Blaine, Steffi here this morning. We're talking Stratford Hall and the Northern Neck and things going on at the moment. And there is a lot going on. Gordon, for Stratford Hall, there is a lot going on this weekend.
Yeah, this weekend, in fact, on Saturday, we've got a little celebration we call Commemorating the Lives, where we're offering $5 admission to anyone above the age of 6, and children under 5 are admitted for free. But Commemorating the Lives is really about kind of celebrating the fact that there are a lot of significant dates in January, and January is a significant calendar month for the Lee family. So we have one death and three births in the Lee family in that month. And so on Saturday, we commemorate that. And then on Sunday, we're particularly excited to have Caroline E. Janey, who is a now professor of American Civil War history at the University of Virginia. She's going to be at Stratford Hall talking about her book, Ends of War, which won the 2022 Gilder Lehrman Prize. And we're particularly excited to have her, because her talk is going to focus on sort of a lot of the uncertainty. Sort of the war ended at Appomattox, or at least that's how the story goes.
Yeah.
And in some sense it did. But then there are other uncertainties, unclarities, you know, that individual soldiers faced as they tried to return to their homes, as they gave their parole and went back to the places where they lived. What would they be allowed to take with them? Was it really over? So she's going to be taking a look at those questions, and we're really excited to have her.
Wow, what a great venue to be able to have that discussion.
Well, and I don't know if you know this, Ted, but in fact, Stratford Hall, one of our prized possessions, is the Terms of Surrender that were signed by Ulysses S. Grant, written in the hand of Colonel Eli Parker on April 9th, 1865, and given to Robert E. Lee at Appomattox Courthouse.
Get out of here.
No kidding. There are lots of people
that.
Who want that. And if you come on Sunday, you might just get a chance to see it. I might pull it out of the archives for folks who come to hear the talk.
Isn't that interesting
that
is there?
What's interesting is that it was given by Lee to his, one of his adjutants, Colonel Charles Marshall. It was descended in the Marshall family until it was given to Stratford Hall.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
So it was because there's a lot of famous pictures of the surrender at Appomattox, and it would have been right there.
It was right, yeah. This was, you know, Grant's Native American adjutant, Eli Parker, sat down, penned this document, handed it to Lee. Grant signed it.
That is why in traveling around Virginia and to go to places like Stratford, there are stories to be told beyond just what you take a look at what the story of Stratford Hall. It's these kinds of things. It's these kinds of things in the archives or in the museum that you're able to show.
No, listen, we have over 5,000 rare books and manuscripts at the library at Stratford Hall, and that document happens to be one of the prized possessions, but it's not the only one. And so I encourage people to make an appointment, come out and see us, and I'll show you some amazing things. Moreover, we just opened the Robert E. Lee Special Collection exhibit in our visitor center that contains items from Robert E. Lee's life. In this particular opening exhibit is focused probably more on post-war years.
I'm sure you were involved greatly in that whole exhibit.
Yes.
And putting it together.
Yes.
How do you go about putting something like that together that's so... It's such a big topic.
It is a big topic, and with a controversial figure.
Yeah.
And so one of the things you want to do is try to emphasize other aspects of his life that sort of might give people an in to him.
Right.
So one of my favorite items in this particular exhibit is a pair of drawings that he made when he was a young engineer stationed at Cockspur Island near Savannah. He was fresh out of West Point. And he drew a terrapin and an alligator, and he gave it to a young woman there in Savannah whose family eventually gave it to us at Stratford.
So
and he was an amazing drawer, in fact. He was an excellent artist. He was a draftsman. He was an engineer when he came out of West Point. So, but his hand is impeccable. And then we have my second favorite item in this particular exhibit is a 1912 letter written by an officer, a soldier, a private in the Union Army who was stationed in Lexington in the months immediately after the war. And he was stationed at a bridge where he regularly saw Robert E. Lee on Traveler riding across the bridge every day on his way to his new appointment at Washington College. And this gentleman took it into his head to see, would Robert E. Lee return the salute of a Union soldier? And in order to find out the answer to that question, you'll have to come see the exhibit at Stratford Hall.
Okay. You mentioned Traveler. Now, Traveler, Traveler's buried, isn't it, at Washington and Lee in Lexington?
That's right. Yes. Yeah, there's a plaque commemorating Traveler at what used to be called Lee Memorial Chapel. I think it's just called University Chapel now. I'm sure Washington and Lee graduates will correct us.
Right.
No doubt. The phones are ringing now.
I am open to be corrected today. I am totally open on anything.
But I really do. Everyone should make the attempt to come out and hear Caroline Janney speak. She is fantastic. She has another book forthcoming from the University of North Carolina Press on the Second Battle of Manassas. But this particular book, I think, is just brilliant because it takes, you know, a lot of books about the Civil War hover at around 10,000 feet. It's lot of like looking at the battles, looking at you know, big picture. But this really takes us down into the lives of individual soldiers who were suffering from pain, uncertainty, disappointment, embarrassment, you name it. So, and we want to hear those kinds of stories.
When she is writing a book like this, and when others do they come to Stratford Hall and go through some of your?
She certainly spends a lot. Caroline Janney is someone who spends a lot of time in archives. Yeah, that's right. Not necessarily at Stratford Hall because we don't have an enormous Civil War collection because we're not really a Civil War site. We're more of a colonial site.
Yeah.
But folks who are, for example, researching Richard Henry Lee, Francis Lightfoot Lee, any of those other revolutionary Lees, they do come to Stratford Hall and spend a lot of time in the dusty archives.
The Robert E. Lee Special Collection exhibit is, how long is that going to be open
that,
for?
You know, it's a permanent exhibit, but we're going to rotate the items that are in the exhibit probably every 6 months. That's the plan right now.
Okay.
Give folks a chance to come and see it before I take it out and put some new cool stuff in.
Okay. So you're already working on the next.
Oh, yeah. I've recently acquired some really interesting things that are going to go into that next exhibit.
So the commemorating the lives, the Lee men, the the discount day is on this Sunday. This is a real chance.
That's the 18th. That's Saturday. And then the lecture's on the 19th.
Saturday and then Sunday
is the
Sunday
lecture.
The lecture.
That's right.
Gotcha. So this is a big weekend.
We're excited to
see things. And that's why, boys and girls, you go to StratfordHall.org.
One of only reasons.
And follow that, or on Facebook, too. You're up to date on all this stuff on your Facebook page.
Absolutely. And they can also just go to StratfordHall.org, where they will see those events, and they can register right there.
So is there because we were talking earlier about just some of the different things to see or do at Stratford Hall. Is there a thing to see or do at Stratford Hall that's one of your favorites? Recommend?
That's one of my favorites. Well, I live in Lynchburg, and when I come and work at Stratford Hall, I'm able to stay on site. And there's something really remarkable about, first of all, being able to work at a place like that, but secondly, be able to wake up at a place like that. And so for folks who are interested, we're having believe it or not, a winter lodging special rate starting at $89 a night. Mm-hmm. You can stay at Stratford Hall. When you're there, I'd recommend certainly taking a walk down to the cliffs. You've done that, and you've seen the Potomac. But for me, it's really the Great House itself is the miracle, and I really love to spend time just in that house, in the Great Hall. My favorite room happens to be the library, because I like to imagine Richard Henry in that library.
I've been in there. It's just it's what you see in like old movies, with it's so tall.
It is, and it's comfy and it's cozy, and it's it gets the autumn afternoon light particularly is my favorite light in there. I can just imagine them sitting in there sipping their Richard Henry Lee he made brandy and he was fond of brandy, and having their pipes and playing their cards and looking at their accounts and such, and actually talking about for example horse racing down at Leedstown.
That's so interesting, because I will talk to historians around here, and you wonder with things, places like the Rising Sun Tavern, or you think about the conversations that were held in these buildings.
You know what's funny, Ted? There's one of my favorite passages from a book is from one of the nephews of this revolutionary generation of Lees. His name was Tommy Lee Shipp, and he lived in Philadelphia, and he loves to tell the story in his memoir about how, and in his letters about how he returned to his grandfather's home, Stratford Hall, and just sat in the Great Hall and was stunned by looking up at seeing the portraits of his ancestors hung from the walls.
I can see that.
Yeah, even then, it was making a certain kind of impression on later generations, and I think it does the same today. So I love, too, also, just when there are no visitors around, to just go and sit in the Great Hall and look at those portraits, and also look at those beautiful vistas that you get out the north side of the door.
Yeah, yeah, no, just because it was there, and you just think it. But even so, I've sat over with people over at Ferry Farm, where they rebuilt the Washington Boyhood Home on the foundation.
Yes,
and they'll say, we'll look over and they'll say, this is the view that Washington had from this spot.
Yes.
And that's powerful.
Yes, it is. I mean, those are the kinds of moments that we want people to have when they come to a place like Stratford Hall. And again, I like, no shade on Monticello. I am, in fact, a UVA graduate, and I think I'm required by law somehow to mention Thomas Jefferson in anything that I do as a graduate. But, if you go to Monticello and you take the tour, you kind of get hustled through there a little bit, right? You're in a little group, and they move you at a certain timetable, and you sit on bench one, set of benches two, and then three, and then you move, and then you're out, and you're like, okay, well, I think I had an experience of Monticello. But at Stratford, wander the halls, take your time, sit down, enjoy the room, take it in. Do some writing while you're there. I mean, right? Really take your time in the house. That's one of the things that Stratford allows.
Huh. Another thing as UVA graduates, at some point you should work in a Go Who's somewhere.
I'm not saying Wahoo-Wah. I will not do. Oh, wait.
too late.
Gordon Blaine Steffi, the Director of Research at Stratford Hall here this morning, along with Lisa Hall, the Northern Neck Tourism Coordinator. So, Lisa, you've taught me many things in just the few minutes we have held a show this morning. But in talking about the signature speaker series, I didn't realize that it is over a couple of years. So you've been planning. This has been in the works, and a lot of planning goes into something like that when you're dealing with a multi-year kind of project.
Yes, the steering committee came together in 2022, prior to our designation as a National Heritage Area in 2023. And we've been really, really fortunate to have fabulous stakeholders like Stratford Hall, Minookan, George Washington Birthplace, and A.T. Johnson Museum, the Rappahannock Tribe, and so many other team players who have come together on various committees to make all this magic happen. And the Signature Speaker Series is something that we've been very pleased with, and last year was sort of a proof of concept. Like, are people interested in public history and coming out on a Sunday afternoon to have an academic lecture from someone who studied the Northern Neck, whose dissertation might have been on the Northern Neck, on the subject of the Northern Neck? and really, you know, was that a thing?
Yeah.
And it turned out it was. People did come out. They were very engaged. They asked questions, and I hope everyone is ready for more, so I'm putting the word out a little bit more broadly. Next, the weekend after Stratford Hall's fabulous weekend, this weekend, on Sunday, January 26th, we are going to have Dr. Woody Holton from the University of South Carolina to discuss his book and his research, Forced Founders, Indians, Debtors, Slaves, and the Making of the American Revolution in Virginia. And that event is going to be at the University of Mary Washington Dahlgren campus, 4224 University Drive, King George.
Yeah.
And so we are delighted to have our partners, our site partners. We're going to have this event at Mary Washington. We're going to have the next speaker series at Historic Christ Church in Weems. The March event is going to be at Rice's Hotel, Hewlett's Tavern in Heathsville. And then the April event is going to be at the Rappahannock Indigenous Conservation and Education Center in Warsaw. And the last May event is going to be at George Washington Birthplace National Monument. So they're going to be on the fourth Sunday of the month at 2 o'clock. Admission is free, and we hope everybody can attend.
What a fabulous setup, in, you know, just a number of things there. And The topics itself, just the name is fascinating.
We try to have good names for the topics. But, yeah. but we are ably assisted by the wonderful scholarship that has been identified and the speakers that we're really excited to offer to the public.
And Woody's book was always really remarkably titled. I read it back in grad school, and we were all excited to get to that book because of the title.
Oh, the title catches you. Forced Founders, Indians, Debtors, Slaves, and the Making of the American Revolution in Virginia. It's a great title and makes you wonder, you know, you have questions, which I guess is the sign of a good book and a good, you know, that you want to read it.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear what he has to say. So, it should be interesting.
Quick break. We're going to come back and to continue this conversation. Lisa Hall here, Gordon Blaine Steffi here. The if people want more information on the speaker series, is there a place you can get that?
Yes, Ted. It's nnk250.us.
More coming up on Newstalk 1230 WFVA. It's now 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is Newstalk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on Newstalk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
We are talking Stratford Hall and Northern Neck. Lisa Hall, the Northern Neck Tourism Coordinator, in this morning, along with Gordon Blaine Steffi at Stratford Hall. You're Director of Research and a whole bunch of other things. That seemed to be the easy one.
I like that title because, yeah, it encompasses quite a bit. So I do a lot. I arrange a lot of the academic programs, the symposia, and, of course, I do my podcast and do, you know, donor solicitation, recruitment, that kind of stuff. Alongside our development director, it's exciting, and we actually have planned a pretty significant speaker series ourselves, not competitive with the Northern Neck speaker series, but cooperative with the Northern Neck speaker series. In February, we have coming Dr. Ana Lucia Araujo from Howard University. She's going to be talking about her brand new book, Humans in Shackles, An Atlantic History of Slavery. That's February 16th at 4 p.m. That's on Zoom, so you don't even have to drive out to Stratford Hall, although we'd love if you did. And then in March, to commemorate Women's History Month, we have Dr. Jacqueline Beatty of York College, Pennsylvania. She's going to deliver a lecture entitled Reclaiming Women's Power in the American Revolutionary Era. And had her at the teachers, our Stratford Hall teacher seminar in the summer, last summer, and she's just fantastic. Looking forward to that. And then finally, I don't know if your listeners may know, but on April 19th, 2025, that will be the 250th anniversary of shots fired at Lexington and Concord. I will be giving a talk about Lee involvement in Lexington and Concord. I'll be giving that talk at Stratford on April 19th.
Interesting. A lot of opportunities.
Yeah.
To learn about, and like you say, some of these are available by Zoom, but others, it's not that far to Stratford at all.
And you know, my talk on Lexington and Concord is going to be available. It's going to be hybrid, so you can be in person and you can listen on Zoom.
This is really exciting, though, Lisa. Just to have these kinds of opportunities to talk about things Northern Neck related, and whether it's Civil War, whether it's colonial, there is a lot of history around here to be talked about.
There is, and we of course go back to the tribes who lived here prior to English settlement, and we're incorporating a lot of those themes as well into all of our discussions. Our themes for the NNK 250 incorporate Indigenous thoughts into every year. It's not just starting with the power of place was last year, and that didn't just concentrate solely on the Indigenous, but the Indigenous experience throughout the Northern Neck, because, of course, there are loads of Indigenous people still here, so
yeah,
happily.
Well, the history tied to the Northern Neck is just fascinating, because a lot of times we tend to look at, you know, this area or Charlottesville, or look at various spots around Virginia as that's where history was concentrated, and you know, not so fast. It is over there.
We were quiet. We were quiet in some ways, very very loud at Leedstown, and quiet in other times. Part of it is that the Northern Necks, there are no cities particularly in the Northern Neck. It wasn't the history of cities like with Jamestown or with Williamsburg or Charlottesville or Richmond. It was more that the history took place along the waterfront, and much of the waterfront became was very accessible through the steamboat era, and then became inaccessible with the decline of the steamboat era, and roads came few and late. And so much of the Northern Neck retains the scenic viewsheds and the scenic drives and the agricultural and maritime industries that formed the Northern Neck are still very much present with us today.
I was just going to say to go there. It's almost you really are. We talked about stepping back in time at Stratford Hall. Certainly, when you go to so many communities in the Northern Neck, you find that
very much so, especially the waterfront communities where you can see people tonguing for oysters and harvesting with the traditional byboats.
So this is the
Dead Rises. Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, the speaker series. Lot planned for this year with that?
Yes, there is. If I can just go through the litany a tiny bit.
I was hoping you would.
Okay, in February. On February 23rd, again, these are at 2 o'clock on Sundays, on the fourth Sunday of the month, we have Dr. Jennifer Van Horn from the University of Delaware Center for Material Cultural Studies, Material Culture and the Making of America at Historic Christ Church. On March 23rd, we have Dr. Kathleen Brown from the University of Pennsylvania speaking on Good Wives, Nasty Wenches, and Anxious Patriarchs, Gender, Race, and Power in Colonial Virginia. On April 27th, we have Dr. Brad Hatch, local here, Potawomac tribal citizen, on the kidnapping of Pocahontas, politics, and myth-making in Potawomac country. And on May 25th, we have Dr. Lisa Wilson on a history of step families in early America. And Dr. Lisa Wilson is from Connecticut College.
So again, to find out more about the whole speaker series, nnk250.us.
Yes, that's correct. And the only regret is that they're not live streamed. However, they are all recorded, and the archives are available again on nnk250.us for last year, and they will be made available as after the events this year.
What a great series! What a great chance to highlight so much. So like you say, history that sometimes we don't dig enough into or don't realize it's right here. So kudos for putting this on. I'm sure a lot of people
a wonderful committee.
I was going to say, I'm sure a lot of people from a lot of different areas are involved in making this happen.
Yes, yes. George Washington Birthplace is heading up this committee and has just been a fabulous partner in identifying speakers and scholarship that's happening all over the country.
Speaking of fabulous, the last time you were here, Gordon Blaine Steffi, we talked about your podcast.
We did.
And we have to spend some time
on
that podcast, because it is simply, Stratford Mail is a really a one of, it's really a unique podcast, because it's not long, but it's just as far as creativity, it's off the charts.
I'm glad you think so. I did not want it to be long, because I myself can't tolerate long podcasts. And for me, long is anything really over 20 minutes. So I decided that everything I did was going to be 20 minutes or fewer. And I really wanted to concentrate less on just sort of, you know, a talking head kind of approach to podcasts, where, you know, you have a letter and you get a couple academics and have them talk about the letter. I decided I'd try to tell a story and incorporate the AI voices into the narrative. And that's really been pretty successful, as the AI has gotten better, and it has gotten better over the two seasons I've been doing it now.
Yeah. So putting something that together just seems like it's very time intensive.
It is time intensive, particularly since I'm the only line credit on that podcast. So I do everything from pre-production to scripting to voicing it, and then to editing it, and then post-production, and also programming the AI engines that generate the voices. So
other than that.
Yeah, and my Great Dane does sit at my feet while I record in my sunroom. That's and so that's pretty delightful. But no, really, it's one of the things. When I got to Stratford Hall, I realized that there were so many incredible stories that were there, that were, some of them were in the archives, certainly, but you know, in and around Stratford Hall, that Stratford Hall wasn't really doing enough to sort of get out of itself and out of the Northern Neck and to reach out to folks. And I have, so for example, I have 3% listenership in the UK. Which is great.
That's awesome.
Seriously.
Yeah. And you know, I've got 6 continents right now listening to the podcast, but I'm aiming for 7. so I've got to get someone in Antarctica who's going to give me a listen. If you're out there, call me.
Please do it. Well, what makes it so interesting, Gordon, is that I think it's like the way the National Park Service tells stories, of where it's so much different than it's used to be in our day of, you know, you would just talk about battles here, and this is what happened. They tell stories with people. That's what you're doing. You're telling stories.
You know, honestly, I think the way into that for me was prior to working at Stratford Hall, prior to being employed by Stratford Hall, I was actually doing a summer teacher seminar at Stratford Hall, and I was the co-director for it. And the topic that we selected was letters and diaries. And that is an excellent window into intimate lives.
I mean,
and that's what we want to do. We want to look over people's shoulders, you know, right? We want to look in windows. And that those letters, those diaries, and it's primarily letters that I'm focused on, but that really gives us a glimpse into who these people were, what their anxieties were, what their problems were, right? What their joys were. And I think that helps listeners connect with the podcast in a way.
Where do you find the material?
Sometimes in my archives. very frequently,
yeah.
It's in my archives. But what my focus is, it has to relate to one of the one-time residents of Stratford Hall. Yeah. So, for example, the most recent podcast, when I, you know, it was, we all think about, you know, Washington crossing the Delaware, and we have those magnificent paintings that remind us of Washington crossing the Delaware as he's on his way to Trenton to score the first, you know, decisive victory on behalf of the Continental Army. But, you know, what were other, some of the folks that we think about and know about, what were they doing as he was doing that? And so, of course, Richard Henry was writing to his good friend Patrick Henry about that, and about what was going on in the war and how it was going and the anxieties they had about sort of recruitment. And so for December, I look at a letter from Richard Henry to Patrick Henry.
You do, and you tie in. Is that the one? The bleak midwinter.
Bleak midwinter. That's right.
Mm-hmm. You tie into what's going on, because I know in the fall you did one on going back to school.
That's right. That's right. On the Lees and sending their kids abroad for school. Not all of the Lees were educated abroad, but some were. And but yeah, the December podcast. You know, I thought, what a perfect, you know, there's that marvelous poem first and foremost by Christina Rossetti in The Bleak Midwinter, which then became a Christian hymn, right?
Yeah, right.
Obviously. And but it was just such a stark and dark time for the Continental Army and the Revolutionary Movement, because, you know, it just didn't look like we were going to be able to bring this off until Trenton. And then, you know, Trenton was followed by Princeton, and these made sort of significant leaps, really, in confidence and in reenlistments, which really changed the shape of the war.
One of the things, and I listened to your podcast on several levels. I listened to it on a production level, because I'm thinking of how, I know how you're doing it, or as you layer things, or I listened to it for that. But I feel smarter after I've heard one of your podcasts, because I feel like I've read a book. I've read a book that I haven't read, and I can quote something from it, and it makes me sound smarter.
Well, I'm glad to hear that that's the way you're using it, Ted. No, I really do enjoy it, and it, you know, it's one of the things I will confess, I had never done anything like this before I started Stratford Mail. I had never had a podcast. I didn't know anything about podcasting. I had no particular recording skills. I had no particular AI skills. I just knew I needed voices, and I thought, well, surely maybe AI can help me out. And it took me a while to find the right engines to you know, again, I was explaining to you before we came on air that this past month, December, was a real challenge for me, because it's the first time I've ever had to come up with a voice for George Washington. And
how do you
he's
do that?
So iconic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know you're gonna make some people upset with the voice that you choose, right? And some people will be happy. And but I feel like everyone was gonna get, nah, we didn't sound like that at all. But of course, that's part of the fun. But as I also explained to you, when you've chosen a voice, when you get the right tone, you get the right, you know, timbre to the voice, then it's a matter of making sure that the engine translates the text you have. And sometimes that just doesn't happen. I think I explained to you last time that I have the damnedest time getting my AI to say Maryland.
Yeah.
It says Maryland, and it will say Maryland, but it will not say Maryland. And it's just a challenge. So you have to find these little workarounds.
Yeah,
it's fun. It's fun.
So there are several different ways you can find it. If you go to StratfordMail.org is, I guess, the easiest.
That's
way.
That's the website. Yes.
And you go just go right there, and they're right there.
And they are also on the front page at StratfordHall.org.
Yes.
And please help expand the listenership so that we can get that seventh continent. That's what we're aiming for. Seventh continent.
Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something? But again, and they are. I mean, I've seen them as short as like 8 or 9 minutes, or 12, or
I think
eight.
That's right. I mean, I think my shortest is a spy story, which is kind of cool. Yeah, about one of the Lees who was a spy.
So what's the next one?
You know, it's the next one's going to be the opening of season 3, and as we lean into the 250th, I've got Lisa sitting here next to me, and Lisa and I are on a committee together that pertains to the 250th, that we're having a symposium later this year at Stratford Hall. We're planning that together, but as we lean more deeply into the 250th, I feel like I'm going to have to, like, use a lot of 250 content for this one.
Okay.
So I'm excited about that.
Okay.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
No, we really are. I mean, Lisa, you know, you're involved with what, you know, the Northern Neck 250th. I mean, there's all kinds of big celebrations. We're on the verge of things in Virginia. Fredericksburg's got something coming up. We're kind of at that time of where with all these different, there's a lot of different anniversaries coming up over the next few years.
The hour has come.
Yeah. Quick break. We're going to wrap this up this morning. Gordon Blaine Steffi from Stratford Hall is here this morning, along with Lisa Hull, the Northern Neck Tourism Coordinator. And we will conclude when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Fredericksburg Fairgrounds.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff this morning with Lisa Hull and Gordon Blaine Steffi as we talk about Stratford Hall and the Northern Neck And I will never, ever say I did something on the Northern Neck again. It was in the Northern Neck. And that is Lisa. Is I can always go back and say I was trained by one of the best in the local language. NNK 250. If you have not heard about it, you should. NNK250.us was with information. And Lisa Hall, you've got an event on Sunday the 26th that a lot of people should be interested in.
Yes, indeed. It is the first of our speaker series this year, and it's the second year of a signature speaker series in commemoration of the 250th anniversary of the American Revolution. So this event is free, like all events in the NNK 250 signature speaker series, and open to everyone. So we're monthly through May at locations in each of the five counties in the Northern Neck.
And this particular one on Sunday the 26th will be in King George at the at the UMW site there.
That's correct.
So check that out, and good stuff there. One of the things, Gordon Blade Steffi from Stratford Hall, that I didn't mention, the other thing about your podcast, because you did one kind of tied to Lafayette, and that was a big deal around here with the whole Lafayette coming through. So you tie a lot of things in that are very topical.
Well, and you know, this is the moment for Lafayette, and Lafayette himself would have appreciated that it's his moment in spades. But and the Lees had, you know, various relationships with Lafayette. The younger brother was not so impressed by Lafayette, but Richard Henry Lee was a good friend of Lafayette. Yeah, I think, don't I tell the story in the podcast that Arthur was not so thrilled by Lafayette, because Lafayette showed up at a treaty negotiation with an indigenous tribe in the north, and he brought a chest of feathers and was, you know, being grandiose and flamboyant, and he kind of derailed the whole treaty negotiation. But you know, it's some of those stories that I like to tell on Stratford Mail, make people happy, you know, get people engaged.
A couple of things going on this weekend.
This weekend, we have Commemorating the Lives, $5 admission on Saturday for folks to come to the House and Grounds. And then, of course, on Sunday, we have Dr. Caroline E. Janey. She's the now professor of American Civil War History at the Now Center for the Study of the American Civil War at University of Virginia. And she's going to be fabulous. Ends of War is the title of her book, and she's going to be talking about what the war meant for individual soldiers, how that looked, what that looked like.
And if you haven't seen it, the Robert E. Lee Special Collection exhibit right there at Stratford Hall
right now. You can walk right next door after you've heard the talk, got your book signed. We're going to have a book signing available. You'll have some time to talk to Caroline after she delivers her lecture. Get a book signed, and then walk next door to the exhibit.
There is so much history wherever you go, east, west, anywhere in Virginia. But I always say
we have our fair share. We have more than our fair share, maybe.
Yes, you do.
In the Northern Neck,
and it's so easy to go to the Northern Neck to get. I mean, when you leave, we're sitting in South Stafford right now. Mm-hmm. You go out onto King's Highway, make a right, and you just keep driving, and you're there.
And in King George, one of the first five presidents was born there at Belgrove Plantation.
Mm-hmm.
Bed and breakfast. So
right there.
Port Conway. Yeah.
Yep, you got that. You got Port Royal right next door there, and it's a lot of history there. Well, thank you both for coming in and talking about this. This is a topic in an area of Virginia we need to talk more about. So I hope we can do this again and continue to get updates from the NNK 250, Lisa, because this is a great series, and Stratford Hall's got some series too. So there's plenty to learn.
Thank you, Ted. Great to be here.
Thank you so much, Ted.
In the next few months, nnk250.us for information there, and for Stratford Hall, stratfordhall.org, or go to stratfordmail.org.
If you're interested in the podcast, yes.
If you're interested, you will be interested in the podcast. There's not an if. It is a great podcast. Because it's a story.
It is. So, well, keep it up.
Thank you both. We'll talk again soon. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ted.
Thank you, Ted.
Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.